بسم الله سبحانه الرواد بيوم ما شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, ثم الحمد لله, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I was just thinking, mashallah, from the downpour that is happening right now, Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our du'as. May Allah ta'ala grant us afiyah in this life and the hereafter. We ask Allah azza wa jal for all the Muslims all over the world. Ya Allah, grant them afiyah. Allah save them from all the fitna of the dunya and akhirah. Ameen, ya Rabbal alameen. We ask for jannah fidus ali wa habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, many times marriage is like rain too. Sometimes it's a complete drought for a long time. And this one, sometimes it pours, right? It's really what it is, mashallah. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to recognize these things. So last week, mashallah, we spoke about a good number of things about the nikah, which is a mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we talked about it at length. And we have to remind ourselves again and again that this is from the sunnah of the mursaleen, the sunnah of the anbiya alayhi wa sallam. That is the sunnah which Allah has made within mankind, that from the first human being, there always has been nikah, meaning that there were people that are wedded together. It is a blessed union that Allah Ta'ala, He puts barakah upon, that He brings khair upon this relationship. It is a relationship which Allah considers an ibadah. And He says that if you do this properly, you get reward in the hereafter, and you get happiness from Allah Ta'ala, ridwan from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah will be pleased with you if you're able to manage it, mashallah. So we are people of nikah. And this is again the standard default rule. And this is something that we find that people might have different experiences, of course. But the main thing is that we should not let our own personal negativity towards something, maybe something bad happen in our lives, whatever. The overall sunnah of Rasulullah is a Mubarak sunnah. And maybe inshallah Allah Ta'ala will write it for me later. Maybe Allah Ta'ala will write it later on. Maybe even the hereafter, you never know. Allah Ta'ala knows best, right? So we should always trust Allah Ta'ala's decision, whatever happened in our lives. Keeping that in mind, it is something which keeps a person away from zina, like we spoke about. There are so many haram things that happen nowadays. So much haram that a person is, unfortunately, their eyes are, you know, are absorbing all the time. The ears are listening to, they speak about haram, right? And they hear haram, they witness haram. So much is done in the name of committing zina. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, people unfortunately don't understand what zina is. In the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for every body part, for every limb, there is zina. There is zina that is associated with every limb of the body. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the zina of the eyes is to look. The zina of the ears is to listen. The zina of the mouth is to talk or to kiss. And the Prophet said, and then the faraj, meaning the private parts, yusaddiqo yukazzib. At the end, the body, the private parts will either attest to it or they'll deny it. In other words, the Prophet said that every part of the body will commit zina. And that's what our community is involved in. Waliyadu billah. And because we are giving our eyes and ears and our tongues towards shaitan, unfortunately, even in our own marriage, we don't find any barakah and khayr anymore. Allah protect us from it. Zina is such a terrible thing. That's why in our communities, waliyadu billah, this fitna of dating, right? People, they're trying their best to copy the American society, American culture, to try to date, to try to find who should they be with or who should they not be with. And you have to understand, what do you say? Tinder, yeah, and Minder. Right? There's a Muslim version now too, right? They try their best to, because they tell you, and this is the thing, right? I mentioned a couple of things last time. This time I want to mention it. Listen, you can't develop a halal relationship off of haram, okay? You cannot develop a haram relationship, a halal relationship off of haram. When a person says that, okay, we'll date and then we'll get to know each other, and then you know what, later on we'll decide to get married or not, you know, and because if I feel good or not, like dating is to me, it is completely like it is the ishara. It indicates to me exactly what is wrong with our society. Because if I'm happy with the relationship, I stay with it. And if I'm not happy, I don't stay with it, right? That's what a dating is, right? Because as long as you are happy, one you're like, okay, I was happy for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and then maybe 1 year goes by, 2 years go by. These people have been dating for like 7, 8 years, like, oh, we still haven't gotten to know each other enough. We have to get each other to know each other more. We don't know if we're going to be married, right? But we've got to know each other more. How much do you want to know her more, brother or sister, right? SubhanAllah. It's very sad. But the reality is, it's that what? I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy. And if I'm not happy, the relationship breaks. To me, it's the complete worship of the self. It's the ibadah of the nafs. A person says, if I'm happy, I'll stay. If I don't, I'm not. That's not what love is. Wallahi, that is not what love is. That's love of your nafs. That's not love of someone else. Allah save us from that. Now, if you were to ask me, is there any dalil that dating is effective? And I'll tell you emphatically, no. Because why? Because this country is a straight, it's an indication to you that these relationships in this country show you that it doesn't work, right? What are you thinking here in this country? People probably here date the most, right? Would you not agree? But how many marriages work out? right? If they get married or not, right? And after they get married, the divorce rates are the highest, right? This is absurd. You would think, after what you told me, that if arranged marriage, it doesn't work. So I'll say, okay, I'll look at Muslim countries. On the average, I know situations are getting worse, males are safer in Muslim countries. But in general, on the average is what? That the arranged marriages, mashallah, work out very fine. People are married, mashallah, they're going into like the golden anniversaries, right? They're going up to 50 years, subhanAllah, right? And over here, people can barely stay married for like a year or two before they get divorced, right? And they mentioned the more, could you imagine this? The statistics say what? The more that a person associates with the spouse to be, right? The person they're going to marry, meaning that they live with each other or they have relations with each other, the more that they feel engaged with each other, the more years they spend with each other, the more likely they are to be divorced. Because Allah Ta'ala made it a deep wisdom that when you get married to someone new, you always feel fresh and new. That subhanAllah, people who are married for 10 years and to 15 years and 20 years still say, I learned something new about my spouse every day. It's something true. It's something ajib about it. You don't even realize how much more you're learning. If you're just attentive, subhanAllah, this is the harms and the haram of it. And I tell everyone, subhanAllah, abandon it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You cannot establish something halal, something good for Allah Ta'ala, off of something haram. Okay, and these things unfortunately end up in misery, and Allah Ta'ala save us from that. And this is what we mentioned about as well for the nikah ceremony. I mentioned to everyone last time that the easier we make nikah, the harder zina becomes. And the harder we make nikah, the easier zina becomes. Right? And so we have to make sure that when the nikah is settled, that mashallah we have, alhamdulillah, both of them are happy. We don't prolong the engagements. We don't start doing extra all these different functions. We don't start to throw like all these different parties and banquets and things like that. We don't start to abuse the husband and wife to be, that they just want to live with each other in happiness, right? So we make the nikah very difficult in a couple of ways. Like I said, we have this gai hulud and this mehndi and these different functions that we have, right? That we hold all these different parties beforehand, and they're not even married yet, right? SubhanAllah. And I told everyone, at least for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, at least make them married. Do the nikah, small little function. Just do the ijab qabool. Right? It's not very complicated. It just takes a couple of shahid, two witnesses, and just a couple of words, mashallah. You know, it's a very simple process. Just get that done. SubhanAllah, let these people have their minds at ease now, alhamdulillah. This man has halal, he can talk to a woman. And this woman has someone halal from the men she can talk to, right? So at least do that, subhanAllah. But all these other ones are bid'at. All they do is make nikah difficult. They all do, they increase expenses. It becomes such an expensive process, right? And this is also another statistic. You can look these up. The more that a person spends on their wedding ring, the more that they spend on their wedding ring to make it more pricey, the more likely they are to get divorced. Isn't that crazy? SubhanAllah. Because why? Because the thing is that you're only preparing for like one day. Could you imagine this? A sister will buy a single wedding dress. She'll wear that dress. It probably costs thousands, right? Minimum. Okay, Allah forgive. It probably costs thousands. And if you were to ask her, will she ever wear it again? She says no. If that is not ayinul israf, if that's not exactly what israf is, I don't know what it is. That a person will just buy one clothing just to wear one time. That's why my what do you call that? You know, the big turban. I always wear a turban, right? So you have to wear a turban on the wedding day too, right? So you wear like the nice turban. I rented it. Who cares? Okay, you act like I want to wear it again. A lot of the clothing that I wear, you probably don't even know. I wear them for Jummah that I wore on my wedding day too. Because why? Because I said it's good clothing. SubhanAllah, why would you not? And I told my spouse, my wife the same thing. I said, SubhanAllah, I said a lot of stuff. I said a lot about the gold, right? Because the gold, because what do? We buy such heavy gold. Such heavy gold. It wasn't gold, right? We buy such heavy gold. And so then she doesn't wear it anywhere else, right? She will never wear it any other function. It's just supposed to stay in the box. So I said that I'm paying zakat on this every year. I said that someone is making me suffer here. Right, and subhanAllah, and then mashallah, we reasoned and alhamdulillah. If you buy, like, look, I'm not against it. Look, we have our cultures and customs. Some of them, again, are an un-Islamic, like I mentioned. Some of them are, mashallah, within deen, within bounds, right? So, for example, a person buys gold, and I get that, okay? You, mashallah, it's like part of custom to give a certain amount, okay? If you do that, subhanAllah, and I think it's good because the wife will be happy, it's nothing wrong with it, but buy something which you can wear more often, right? Buy something that the bangles that you wear, right, that you will use on these days, right? And then you can actually use it for more functions or not. If you buy this huge like brick thing, right, that you walk around with, right, you're gonna get robbed. Someone's gonna shoot you for that thing, man. SubhanAllah. Like, you have to be understand these things, mashallah. So the thing is that like when everything is spent on that one day, just to make sure the wedding day is right, then no one plans for the future. A nikah is not one day. A nikah has a lifetime. Not even one lifetime, it's two lifetimes. It's not just this world, it's hereafter as well. A person has to plan a lot of stuff. So if a person is spending $20,000 just on the banquet hall, And then another 5,000 on the food, and another 5,000 on the DJ. Because we needed more haram, right? SubhanAllah. We were already doing enough haram. There's more haram. It's more haram we can do, right? We have to copy as much from these people that their marriages are completely unsuccessful. And we're copying them, you know, حَظُّ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. We copy them footstep by footstep. And I ask everyone, this is my darkhas, my request, everyone. Don't follow the ways of the kuffar. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates the nation, they are from them. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever imitates a people, they are from them. If you imitate non-Muslims, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be careful who you resurrect with on the Day of Judgment. And if you copy a Muslim, and you copy the Sahaba, you copy the way of deen, then inshallah they resurrect with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, inshallah ta'ala. Keep that in mind, inshallah. And so we have, unfortunately, all these un-Islamic practices, and they unfortunately hinder the marriage, and then people are only focusing for that one day. And then because of that, the whole marriage, the whole lifetime, you know, SubhanAllah, I'm telling you, if you want to make your son the happiest man in the world, as a father, to do the biggest khayr that you can do to your son, you give him, if you're going to spend $20,000 on the nikah, you give him that in a check. Okay? And I promise you, wallahi, I can take qasam by Allah, he will never forget you in his du'as. Because you helped him for the rest of his life. He'll never forget that khayr that the father gave. He said, son, I was going to spend this on something haram. But I said, you know what? This is for your future. Take it as a gift from me, SubhanAllah. There are a lot of things that a person, again, mashallah, within bounds in Sharia. So we talked about mahar. And I told you, mashallah, mahar fatimi is something that we encourage. But if a person wants to give a little bit more, because it's a gift, right? It's a gift, right? But the only things that I said about mahar last time, do you remember? I said that you have to give it, okay? We write a number down. You write $100,000 and he'll never pay $100,000 his whole life, subhanAllah, right? The mahar, asal mahar, the principal mahar is supposed to be given on the day, meaning it's supposed to be finished. So everything's supposed to be finished. You gave the full amount and it's done. So what do? We give like a small amount, $20, $200, whatever. And then the rest of it, she forgives. When he dies, just forgive him. You know, you had a whole life with him, just forgive him. Right? What is this? This is her money. It's not the parents' money. It's not the family's money. It is her money. It is an amana for her. And this is why the husband, again, if he were to give a little bit more, because he wants to give this dowry, he can, mashallah. And so then that's fine. You can give it whatever. That's all right. Okay? There's other things that we do. We call it jihaz, right? Jihaz, which is like this, the furniture and certain like things that we give with the bride to go along, right? And so there's a certain amount. So look, the responsibility for finances is on whom? It's on the husband. Okay, that is without a doubt, Sharia-wise, Islam-wise, deen-wise, if you believe Islam to be the truth, that's what the Quran and Sunnah have emphatically said. The husband is responsible for this. That is his job and his duty and his responsibility. The wife's responsibility, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالْمَرَأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ عَلَى بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَأَهْلِهِ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِ فِي رِوَايَةٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said that a woman is responsible for the house of her husband and for the children. وَهِيَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْهُ وَهِيَ مَسْؤُولَةٌ عَنْهُ. And she will be asked about these things. So the husband is responsible for the family, for the provisions and the finances. And the wife is responsible for other things. We'll get to there, inshallah. We have a little bit of time. We'll get there, inshallah. The main thing is that when it comes to the furniture and things like that, there's a custom that people have, is that they say that is the bride's family's responsibility to provide all this different stuff for the house, okay? And I want you to know, okay, this is real honest, okay? Beyond a certain means, everything else is bid'ah. All of it's innovation. It is not correct. There's no burden on the wife. You are giving a daughter away. A daughter is being given away from the family. This is the gem of a father. The father looks at his daughter as always a diamond to him. She's so precious to him. And she never loses that value. I told a lot of these brothers, right? I think we had this conversation, remember? I said that if your 26-year-old daughter got divorced, waliyadu billah, where does she go? Back to the dad's house. Would the dad ever complain? He'll never complain. He said, if my daughter comes back to my house, I'll take care of my daughter because I love my daughter, right? Who wouldn't? If I told your 26-year-old son got divorced and he's just staying at home all day, you're already thinking, what? Why is he not getting a job? get him out the house. SubhanAllah, it's a different experience. The girl, subhanAllah, she's been given away from her family. There's no expenses on her. Okay. We throw certain functions. Okay. Certain times a family wants to throw a function. There's a bride's function and the husband's function. That's okay, mashallah. Again, within bounds and reasons, you can celebrate. That's nothing wrong with it. But to force it, what is it people forcing people? Allah forgive. That's why I said the mendi and stuff. You know why it's bid'ah? It's because of the fact that people think if you didn't do it, you did a gunah. Right? If you didn't do it, people say that something's wrong with the nikah. Oh my God, astaghfirullah al-azim. If you don't do these different parties before the nikah, Allah protect from those things. So the Prophet ﷺ, what did he do though? He gave a little bit of things for Fatima radiallahu anha at the time of the marriage. He gave to Fatima radiallahu anha like a water skin, a little bit of like, you know, little bit of sheets, etc., and small little things like that, just the little things for herself. And I tell you, I wouldn't have learned these things if it wasn't for, mashallah, because Mawla Ibrahim himself is my father-in-law. And so I noticed this, I read this in the kitabs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it to Fatima radiallahu anha, a couple of things so that she can have like a little bit ready for her home, right? And I noticed that once my family, after the first night, she opens up her luggage, right? And I look inside, and there's these little things that Mawla Ibrahim gave her, like a little kettle, a little bit of this and that, and like little small little things like a pillow, blanket, and things like that. And I was just thinking, subhanAllah, like ajeeb, man, people practice deen this much, mashallah. And then subhanAllah, she already had it ready. She had like a whole cup set and cookies and biscuits to serve the family that she just moved into. SubhanAllah. Like there's so much tarbiyah that's being done. Allahu Akbar, really, mashallah. May Allah save and may Allah give us alhamdulillah khair like that, mashallah. The thing is that subhanAllah, there's so much that goes into it. But anything adding to it, it's all bid'ah. Another thing, just mentioning the side point, anniversaries. I have the only chance, one chance to talk about this the whole year, right? Let me talk about it once in the year, right? These anniversaries, la ilaha illallah, they are the ways of the kuffar, the non-Muslims, that they consider that every year they need to refresh or renew their nikah and like light the fire again or something, right? And so then this bid'ah again, innovation comes into our dini environments as well, and then we start doing this. The same thing, birthdays happen, anniversaries, death anniversary, any anniversary in general are considered disliked in Sharia. Because again, they're the ways of the non-Muslims, and you're supposed to show your love and affection every day of the year. Okay, now this is the thing about the anniversary. May Allah save us from this. As for husbands, I just want to know, like, do you like that your wife will keep a tab on you, that she checks, look, it's been the day, like this is the day and you didn't do something? What happens if you had a terrible argument the night before the anniversary? Are you just supposed to pretend that we are happy together now? SubhanAllah. Are you supposed to just force the emotions to come out and just show your affection and love? And for women, subhanAllah, why didn't you ask for more than just the anniversary? La ilaha illallah. You should ask for more. I would ask for like, if you're telling me anniversary is yearly, I'll say, give me seasonal. I want quarterly, right? Every 3 months, you should do something for me, subhanAllah, right? That's the thing. You are selling yourself short. And that's what Islam says. Don't sell yourself short. Only Alim, one Mawlana said this very nicely. He said, one evidence that we can give for this, he said, for this type of function to have, he said that people, unfortunately, this is something written in our kitabs, people, unfortunately, because of the fact that they can't control their tongues, they end up divorcing their wives without realizing. Because they'll say something which they could not say, like, I'm done with you, get out of my house, something like that. And they ended up, that might have been a talaq, that might have been a divorce. A very serious matter. So the Mawlana, he said very beautifully, he said that to have a function just so they can renew their nikah might be a good thing. But he said that it should not be done every year. He said every couple of months is a good thing. Because why? Because unfortunately, people don't even realize how bad it's become, right? And Allah forgive. Again, we should not look forward to these things. SubhanAllah, I can't even remember. Me and my wife, we argue every year about which day did we get married on, because we all forgot. I forgot which day it was. It's somewhere in June. I think it might have passed. I'm not sure, right? Who cares? It's one of these, subhanAllah. But that's the thing. Like, if you love your spouse, then what's the big deal? Like, subhanAllah, isn't it supposed to be every day? Are you just gonna buy khas gifts for that day? SubhanAllah, don't sell yourself short. Again, these things are mazmoom in Sharia. So Allah save us from all these different bid'ahs. What is the thing that a person can celebrate and really just go towards, alhamdulillah, feeding lots of people? It is the walima. It is the walima. And this is one of the, again, the underappreciated, undervalued things. Okay. Again, on the nikah day, we do some crazy things. We'll keep, even when we separate genders, men on one side, women on another side, right? Then we do this crazy part in the middle. You know the part where they married, right? And then the groom goes over to the bride's side. And then he sits with them on the bride's side. And I'm like looking at this, like, why is this guy going to that side, subhanAllah? He already got married. He's not looking for anyone else. Why are you giving him opportunities, sister? SubhanAllah, he's not looking at you on the stage, right? He's looking at all the women on the stage, subhanAllah. You think the man can control his eyes? Don't lie to me. SubhanAllah. Again, like, be careful of all these things. The walima, again, mashallah, is a function which a person will celebrate out of joy, right? Out of happiness, right? It is, alhamdulillah, if the families, mashallah, want to work together to get the funds together, alhamdulillah. There's no burden on anyone, mashallah. They just want to throw the function. Obviously, again, I told you, your husband is responsible for finances. That's his duty. That's his responsibility, right? The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made sure. He said, make sure to throw the walima. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, though, the best walima is what? The one where the poor are invited to, right? And the worst walima is what? The one that the rich are only invited to. And this is something that we, unfortunately, again, we make this mistake, is that when we invite for walima, we don't ever consider who are the fuqara, who are the poor, because they're the ones who make the khas dua for you. And that's why, subhanAllah, there was this one couple that got married, and I'll never forget this. This one couple that got married, instead of having the regular walima, they decided to rent out a truck, a food truck, and they had all the food ready for the walima, and the whole day they just served the poor. SubhanAllah. Because why? Because they understood that Rasulullah, his advice is golden. And so we take what he said. And so they fed all these people, subhanAllah, to get their du'as, mashallah. So when you have your walima, mashallah ta'ala, it's okay to invite, it's okay to have a large function, but also consider who are the poor people in the community. Have a separate area for that, mashallah, or separate amount for them, inshallah, that you also serve them as well. Don't forget them, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so these are the things I wanted to mention just to lead up to the nikah and afterwards. If I got into nikah, wallahi, we'll start now, we'll probably end at like Fajr time. SubhanAllah, there's so many things I could discuss. But let's go back a little bit. We want to go back to the guy who, alhamdulillah, he finally found a proposal. You got the proposal, mashallah. It comes in, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. So the first thing this person needs to do, if anyone found a proposal, is that you yourself need to make dua. Lots of dua. So much dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is going to be one of the biggest parts of your life about to be settled for you. And so you have to make dua to Allah. Allah, if it's good, write it for me. Allah, if it's bad, keep it away from me. And make dua, make istikhara, right? Sit down and make istikhara. Stand up and pray the two rakats. Raise your hands in dua. There is an istikhara for regular istikhara. And there's an istikhara just for dua, for nikah, for getting married. People don't know that. There's an istikhara, a regular one, for just general things. And there's an istikhara for nikah as well. So a person, once they finish the two rakats prayer, the narration mentions to recite Surah Kafirun in the first rakat, and Surah Ikhlas in the second one. And afterwards, you raise your hands in dua, and you make that dua. People, after making istikhara, are waiting for like Jibril alayhi salam to come or something, right? When after istikhara, people are waiting for some wahi, some revelation to come from an angel or something. I said, subhanAllah, istikhara is what? You sought good from Allah Ta'ala. Once you're done with the istikhara, you should move forward with the decision. If you feel a change in your heart, that's all that matters. If there's no change in the heart, you continue forward. If you don't feel anything, or if you feel a change, then you stop. That's it. Okay, there's no dream. There's no khab. There's no seeing like Spider-Man shooting from window to window or whatever and flying from mountain to mountain. And now, subhanAllah, now you should get married, right? Whatever, right? I had this dream. Everyone's waiting for this dream, subhanAllah. The amount for istikhara is what? The reasonable amount is for 7 days. You do it for 7 days, and then, mashallah, you go forward. Sahaba radiallahu anhu were so pure-hearted, mashallah, wallahi. Sahaba were so pure-hearted. They used to make istikhara every day for everything. And their hearts, alhamdulillah, were so pure, Allah gave them the answer right away for a lot of things. You and I, you know, we probably make istikhara for a month, you probably still won't be settled, subhanAllah. Okay, so once you get done with the week, and you're like, I feel a little inclined towards this decision. Sister looks good to go, mashallah. I think I'll be happy with her, whatever. Mashallah, it should be presented to the parents. Some investigation should be happening, and you should move forward with that, you know, moving like that, right? If you want to, inshallah, do the parent thing first, because you feel like I'll bring istikhara to my parents and they won't even care, be my guest, okay? Bring the parents first and do your investigation. You can start to, inshallah, look through, you know, if you have a sister, they can talk to other sisters. There's some ghibah that's always floating around, mashallah. You'll get there, inshallah. You'll get there, okay? And there are some for brothers as well, that you'll see that there's certain brothers who know the brother that you want, that are associated with him, etc. There are people in the community you want to check. Sometimes the imam has a good database about people, right? He keeps a good file for everyone, so you can ask him, who's very lazy, who doesn't wake up for Fajr. Yeah, I got data for days, man. It's one of Allahu Akbar. He's like, oh, don't expose us, Malana. Whatever, man. I sometimes slip too. Don't worry, I'm just joking. Okay, so the thing is that what? The you want to ask around just for a reasonable amount that you find them. Basically, the hadith of the Prophet, like I told you, you want to shoot for deen, okay? Now, in terms of characteristics you're looking for, just like three simple things, okay? Just three simple things. You just keep this in mind. You want to look for someone who's respectful, someone who has good character, and someone who's honest, okay? Who's respectful, who will have respect for you, someone who has good character, and so, alhamdulillah, someone who's honest. If you have a person who's honest, mashallah, then alhamdulillah, it's good, really. Really, marriage will work out when people are honest. When people lie and stuff like that. Imagine this, subhanAllah, you're trying to get this, you know, you finally get to meet the person, right? And you start to talk to them, and you know, like, oh, were you married before? They're like, and they say, no, I've never been married before. And they've been married like three times already. People lie. People lie. Such iftira and kid. That's why I tell people, be careful of these dating apps and sites. You think people are sharing their own pictures? People are not sharing their own pictures. SubhanAllah, I can show you with I have so much, subhanAllah. Allah forgive. Allah forgive. So many people that are sharing the same exact photo of the same exact girl, and they're saying, this is my photo. This is how bad it's become. Such khiyana that's done, right? And these things are very dangerous. I always recommend, before the dating apps, you know, there are people, alhamdulillah, that probably have better, you know, connections, just personal ones. And thereafter, if you can't find, I mean, people are sometimes push for these things. What are you supposed to do? Our community is so fragmented, or we're so broken. We don't have all these things together. So sometimes they have to do it, okay? So now you want to make sure, if you find those three qualities, alhamdulillah. And then finally, the Prophet ﷺ said, when both parties are basically moving forward, the Prophet ﷺ said, you should go and see them, right? You should go and look at them. This is part of it, right? This is sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. It's not a wajib to do, it's not an obligation, but it's something very good to do. Because if you see them, the Prophet ﷺ, someone is going to get married at the time of the Prophet ﷺ without seeing the spouse, without seeing the girl. The Prophet said, go unzur ilayha, right? Go look at her and see her, because this is more khayr ayyudama baynakuma, that this will make love more lasting between you two. If you decide to look, because now you, alhamdulillah, you have an idea, you have to wake up to the face every morning, right? Right? MashaAllah, you can be muttaqi, mashaAllah. Oh brother, I only marry for taqwallah. My eyes are blind only to haq, whatever. Okay, whatever, man. Okay, mashaAllah, okay. Yeah, on your worst day, the fact that she's beautiful will keep you good, you know? Alhamdulillah, right? And again, even if she's the most beautiful person, if her character is horrendous, she can be as beautiful as she wants, you won't be attracted to such a thing, right? May Allah save us from that. Again, for both sides. It's not just for men, for women, it's for men as well, right? But that should not be the break, make or break deal, right? People, unfortunately, Allah will forgive. And this is what happens. Julaybib radiallahu anhu was the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This man was someone who the Sahaba, he couldn't really hang out with them or speak to them so much. Not because the Sahaba would make fun of him, waliyadu billah. It's just that the munafiqeen, they will look at him and they will say that he's so ugly, right? He wasn't a very attractive person. But he's a Sahabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So the thing was that the Prophet had much concern for Julaybib. He loved Julaybib. And so then he went to one house of one of the most beautiful girls of the Ansar. And so the Ansar used to do this. They used to wait for nikah proposals. They used to hold them off until Rasulullah ﷺ shows that if he likes them or not. Because they wanted that Rasulullah ﷺ would marry their daughter. Okay? So now keep this in mind. So Rasulullah ﷺ comes to this house and he says to them that, is your daughter married or not? They said, oh, Messenger of Allah, she's not married. She's single. She's ayyim. She's still waiting. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, Zawijni, marry her to me, right? Give her in nikah. And so they said, oh, Rasulullah, if you want her, we'll give her to you exactly. The Prophet ﷺ said, I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for Julaybib. Okay? So he goes, the Prophet says this to the father. And the father says, okay, so I'll take this back to the family and we'll make mashwara. Okay, we'll make mashwara. We'll talk about it. We'll consult. So then the father brings it back home. And the wife is there and she speaks to him. And she goes and says, the Prophet offered to marry our daughter. And she said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And the father says, no, it wasn't for him. It was for Julaybib, right? The one who looks so ugly and not so good in the community. And so then the mother said, La amrullah, la 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 uzawijuhu. She said that by Allah, right? By the amr of Allah. It's something that's not even ethical to even say, right? It said that by Allah Ta'ala, I will never marry my daughter to Julaybib, right? And so now she said, go back to the Prophet and just say no to him, right? And so now the father's about to walk out and the daughter is there. She listens to the conversation. She said, mother and father, أَتَرُدُّونَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Are you going to reject Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم? And then she said that, don't you think that the Prophet was looking for my khayr too? Right? إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet would never ruin us. He would never destroy us. He said that whatever he said is khayr in it. So then thereafter they said, she said, please accept it. And they mentioned that an ayah of the Quran was revealed for her just because of that honesty and that love she had for Rasulullah's command was there. Right? Imagine this. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It's not for a believing man or woman to have any choice after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know? So then subhanAllah, she gets married to Julaybib and she's very happy with him. It's a good marriage, mashallah. And then what happens is ultimately there's a battle and Julaybib, subhanAllah, he goes out to the battle, Allahu Akbar, radiallahu anhu, and he goes out and fights, subhanAllah. And they said that the place that Julaybib, he ends up becoming a martyr, shaheed, he ends up dying, and the place he became a shaheed, there were like 9 bodies around him. He ended up finishing up 9 people. He was on the ground. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took Julaybib onto his lap and he started to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says to say, Ya Allah, please bless Julaybib. Bless Julaybib's family. Allahumma subba alayha. Allah, pour your blessing upon him, upon the family of Julaybib. And subhanAllah, they said we never met a widow that had more wealth than the wife of Julaybib after him. Right? So people don't know where the khayr really is. This is the thing I want to make straight to everyone. Okay? Parents, please, your job is to assist, not to obstruct. Your job is to help out with the marriage proposals. And, you know, kind of filter it. And you know your son. This is the thing. Every kid thinks that my parents don't know me. Trust me, man. They change your diapers. They know you better than anybody, okay? Your mom saw you naked, okay? Relax. Okay. Whoa, okay. Whoa, okay. This is the thing. They know you better than a lot of people know you, subhanAllah. And they know what kind of person you are, subhanAllah. And that's the thing. Sometimes we don't realize how much of a child we really are. Although maybe our age is like 25, 26, 27, we're still a child. I'm still a baby, still not able to take care of ourselves, still can't, you know, do anything for ourselves, right? SubhanAllah. This type of guy, this type of boy playing Call of Duty, right? Playing Call of Duty, doesn't know his own duty, right? Probably taking another duty, right? This type of guy, this type of boy is supposed to get married to a woman and take care of her and provide for her. La ilaha illallah, right? Then you think about it. That's why parents sometimes are very skeptical. Many times parents come up and they say that, you know, alhamdulillah, like I really agree with getting married young, right? But I don't think my kid is responsible. I said, you know your kid better. Some of these kids want to, they'll say they're deen-dar, nik, salih, whatever. Right? They'll say they're pious and muttaqi, whatever. And they say, I'm ready to get married. I know I don't have finances right now. I'm like, boy, I don't trust you with anything, man. You barely can trust you with like small little responsibilities. You think you can handle a wife? It's a big responsibility. Allah protect. So the father and mother, please don't knock their advice. Their nasiha is very precious. But please, if you saw all the boxes checked, and this is what happens, right? Many times it's like that. All the boxes are checked. Literally, like everything. I mentioned before, make a small little list for yourself, right? Everything is checked. And the other one's just like, oh, he's not from my country, not from my tribe, or something like that. And then you reject him off of that. Why? Why reject him? SubhanAllah, you got everything else. Okay, I get it. His zaban, his tongue isn't the same one that you have. And I get it. But trust me, you know, you're only thinking about, this is my, again, my proposition to you. You're only thinking about this one boy, your son-in-law. You're going to have grandchildren. Okay, you're going to have grandchildren. As parents right now, as a parent right now, and my mom tells me this all the time, that I was very excited to have a son. Okay, and now I'm thinking about it, I can't wait to have grandchildren too. Okay, you know, subhanAllah. Because why? Because it's so, isn't that so nice? SubhanAllah, like a little kid that's yours, Allahu Akbar, you get to go visit them and stuff like that. You're just worried about this one boy, let him go, man. SubhanAllah, let him talk whatever language he wants. You get to talk to your grandchildren, mashallah, get to raise them, alhamdulillah. Okay, you have a lot of excitement here. Don't let it just one or two things. And then what happens is, this, when we delay, again, like, you know, sometimes a good proposal comes, and then many like bad proposals come. Maybe like 7, 8, 20, 30, right? And you can't seem to get resolved, subhanAllah. The guy is left in limbo, he's waiting for years. The girl's waiting for years now, nothing's getting resolved. And then the age where they can have children, now it's become a little harder for them to have children, right? So Allah Ta'ala protect us from these things. Parents, again, inshallah ta'ala, make sure they don't obstruct, right? Sometimes it happens when we're asking these questions. I told you to start asking questions, right? When you meet a person, you can prepare a list, okay? You have a small little list where you think, like, these are the best questions I want to ask. I want to ask about the deen. I want to ask, like, you know, maybe a hypothetical question, you know, like honesty, things like that. What would you do with this, right? What do you think about the rights of a husband? What do you think about the rights of a wife, right? Again, roughly 10, 15 questions, okay? Don't, this is not interrogation, okay? This is not some, you found some terrorists and stuff like that, you know, and you're going to put him in a room and next 4 or 5 hours, you're going to see, right? SubhanAllah, this has literally happened, one Sri Lankan brother. I won't lie, I'm kidding, I'm not even joking. He said that I rejected her proposal. He said, why? Because the lady, when she came in, she took out like a book. She had like this long interview. I was like, he's like, as if she was trying to interview me if I should get my green card or not. SubhanAllah, like Allah Akbar. Okay, man, SubhanAllah, keep it short and sweet, okay? You have much time to get to know them. You have much time to get to know them. There are certain questions you can ask and certain questions you should not ask. In terms of deen-wise, like I said, if you have to ask if they've been married or not, because again, that is haqq and that's real. You can't lie about that. In terms of their past, though, about like, for example, boyfriend, girlfriend, things like that, maybe they had something with the opposite gender. The Prophet, sorry, what is like, this is something in the deen, okay? You should not be asking these questions, right? You came to them honestly, mashallah, and they should speak to you again. You should accept them to be a person, alhamdulillah, of deen and nek and salih. This one question that you ask could make people very uncomfortable, and it's not an appropriate question whatsoever. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said during his time, what happened was there was a brother who was getting his sister married off. And then before the sister was going to meet the person, he actually meets the future spouse, right? The future, the groom-to-be. And he goes to them and says, my sister, before she committed zina, I just want to let you know that, right? And so then immediately the guy, he turned it off. He said, no, I don't want to be next to her, near her, whatever. So Amr heard this and he beat the man, the brother. He said that, why? What's wrong with you? Why'd you mention this khabar? It's in Muwatta. You can check this narration. The thing is that when a person had a bad past or whatever past before, if they made tawbah from it, what are you doing exposing people's sins? That's not right at all. Allah Ta'ala forgave them as if it's not even there anymore. You should even ask this question. If people ask you this question, right, and you did have something, Allah forgive again. It's something, again, people have to come to terms with. If someone does ask you, say, alhamdulillah, Allah saved me from a lot of fitan, alhamdulillah, Allah saved me from this fitan, right? Use nice words to say that, alhamdulillah, nothing happened, okay? But again, you should not pry into it and start investigating. I've seen many people that they'll say that if they even have texted a boy or even had spoken to a boy, like privately, I will never, you know, whatever, I will never be with them. I said, subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. I can't even imagine being married to you. Because why? You're such a person that, subhanAllah, could you imagine this? That you won't even be able to forgive this much? If something really bad happens in the marriage, I can't even imagine being married to you. You probably will never forgive this person. You have to understand, marriage is a lot of forgiveness. You're forgiving like all the time. Okay? There's a reason why this is half of deen. Okay? And I want everyone to remember that. There's a reason why it's a half of deen. Because you're learning a lot of adab and etiquette, mashallah. So now, this is not a question a person should ask. They should let these things go. The person looks pious, mashallah, religious, alhamdulillah. Just let it go, alhamdulillah, and keep moving forward. Now, again, alhamdulillah, once everything has been settled, nikah should move forward and, you know, kind of get processed. I want to mention just a couple of things, inshallah, just so a person can be aware. Like just the intentions behind marriage. When I ask everyone, what was your intention to get married? Is this like something no one even thought about? So, Molana, I was just going with the flow. I was really excited, right? I was really happy. Ah, you guys are probably so happy. You're probably blushing right now, Swana, like thinking like, oh, you don't know what I was thinking about, Molana. I was so excited, you know, Swana. Everyone's happy, mashallah. That's a happy time. May Allah increase you in happiness, mashallah. But I want everyone to consider just a couple of things, okay? Nikah have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith of Bayhaqi, that whoever has completed nikah, faqad istakmala nisfa al-iman. He has completed half of iman, right? He has completed half of faith. There's so much that is in a nikah. I know a person just thinking, mashallah, I get to meet a girl. Oh my God, you know, she actually is a living girl, Allahu Akbar. She has like a pulse and like a heartbeat and everything like that, subhanAllah, right? Yeah, but there are a lot of things that are involved with this, okay? Now think about it, subhanAllah. There's someone that's going to be, I'm going to be responsible for her, right? The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that is in Bukhari that a man is responsible for his family. He'll be asked about the family. You have to remember this. So you have to understand your intention. You got to make it a little bigger than that. Not just alhamdulillah, get to meet a girl. Alhamdulillah, there's so much more involved. You know, one day, you know, I have to take care of her financially. I might have one day have to have children, right? Subhanallah, like she's not, look, no matter how nice you make that questionnaire, I told you 10, 15 questions, whatever. Even if you have the interrogation, do you think that you're going to find someone perfect? Okay. If you want a fantasy, just read the fantasy books. Okay. There are books that are written about fantasy. If you want real life, you're going to might find someone that is like, okay, we'll manage. Okay. It's not going to be exactly perfect, but you'll get someone that's manageable, mashallah. And you'll get to be happy with that manageable person. Alhamdulillah. Okay. The thing is that you will find someone that's not going to be perfect, right? That's not going to be exactly what you wanted. And she'll have her own attitude. She'll have her own appearance. She'll have her own mannerisms, right? And there are certain things that you'll be happy with. Certain things you won't be happy with, right? Certain things you're going to get angry about. Certain things you're not going to be angry about. There's so many things that happen here. And so you have to remember, there's so much that involves in a nikah that if I were to forgive my brother 70 times, my wife at least deserves 7,000 forgivenesses. This is the thing. There's so much that, this is why it's called half of Iman, because you learn so many qualities along with it. You get to care about someone else. Right, this is why we don't marry off children. Why don't we marry off children? Because they're children, okay? They don't know anything. An adult is someone who cares about someone else. A child only cares about themselves, okay? The whole thing about a child is whether my mom and dad are happy or not. The child is thinking, 4 or 5 year old girl or boy, whatever, they're only thinking about if I'm happy or not. SubhanAllah, right? That's all they care about. A person who's getting married with this attitude that I need to be happy, I need to be pleased, I need to be whatever, this person will never be successful in the nikah. They'll never be successful in the nikah because they came into the nikah with the wrong intention. They thought about what is my goal, what's my benefit, what do I get, how much mahar was there, and all these things, right? That's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, I can literally show you quotes. Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, like, and great tabi'een have said that if the woman asked for such a high mahar herself, he said that this is a sign you shouldn't get married to her because something's clearly wrong, okay? If you can't even provide this much in the beginning of the nikah, what are you going to think about doing the rest of the nikah? Allah save us, okay? This is the thing a person needs to understand. I'm not getting it married just for myself. Marriage is much bigger than myself. I'm going to raise children into the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the day of judgment, these kids are going to be raised with me. These are going to be kids that they will say Ibn Abdullah, Ibn Shakil, whatever. They're going to say that this is my father. I'm going to have, mashallah, in-laws. You know what in-laws are? Okay, let me just quickly speak about in-laws, okay? First of all, okay, in-laws, unfortunately, may Allah forgive, but this is something that we just as advice. I'm gonna be in-law one day too. You never know, right? Allah knows. Okay, this is just advice. Okay, I get it. Mothers in the room, no woman will be good enough for your son. Okay, no woman will be good enough for your son, and I agree, because no one could be like you because you're the mom. Okay, but she, alhamdulillah, is the best. Allah Ta'ala chose her for your son. Okay, Allah Ta'ala chose her for your son. So you should love her like you love your own daughter. Okay, this is the thing. When in-laws love the opposite, right? They love the son's mom and dad loves the girl, and the daughter's mom and dad loves the boy. Alhamdulillah, the marriage works out. But if you're only thinking about my boy and my daughter, you actually cause more fights. Okay? If a person wants to know what's a real jihad, right? Jihad fi sabilillah. I said, try to settle between your mom and your wife. One of the hardest things in the la ilaha illallah. This is like, it takes such hikmah, such wisdom. You are like planning like 15 steps ahead, all these different stuff. It's a lot of things you got to do, subhanAllah. People don't even realize these things. You think you're getting this? Someone asked me, like, Molana, why don't you get married to a second and third, right? I said, just listen, okay? I said as a joke, I said that I don't want any more in-laws. Okay, I think I had enough, subhanAllah. You know, the thing is that what? It's like you don't realize you get married to a family. A person thinks I'm getting married to this one person. No, there's a family you're getting involved with. You have to meet people, you have to talk to people. You can't just pretend like to be this social, like this antisocial turtle. You just hide in your shell all the time. You have to meet people. There's so much that's involved here. People don't realize there's so much involved in a nikah, okay? So for in-laws, inshallah, they remember this. And listen, parents are always off limits. No one should ever even, there should never be a conversation about parents in the house. Does that make sense? Like, I wouldn't like that my wife talk about my parents, and she wouldn't like that I talk about her parents, right? And if you were to keep this rule that we never talk about each other's parents, marriages would be saved a lot more. Because there are certain conversations, I'm telling you, a woman can get underneath the skin more than anyone else. Wallahi. She can say things, I can hear everything, mashallah, from these brothers in the mashallah. I love you guys all for the sake of Allah. Some people say some bitter things, and I can take it, alhamdulillah. My wife says something, subhanAllah. I just feel like she stabbed me in the heart. I don't know how she does it. It doesn't know how she does it. It just takes a couple of words, and she does it every time. She's like Robin Hood, like, subhanAllah. She can hit the mark every time, subhanAllah. Like she, and this is the thing. And the Prophet, sallallahu, if a man's responsibility, again, and this is the thing, we didn't learn what are the rights of the husband, what are the rights of the wife, right? And what are the responsibilities of the husband? What are the responsibilities of the wife? I mentioned to everyone that, look, you have to think about the nikah and the future. The husband, again, has to provide finances, right? He has to get a job. He has to provide. What is the job of the wife? She has to make sure the kids are being raised well, okay? And sometimes that happens in the sacrifice of her career, her financial career. And this is the thing, unfortunately, you have to make that decision. If Allah asked me about my children, do I really want them being raised by a non-Muslim? This is what people do. They have to send their kids to daycare, right? They have to send their kids to daycare. And when they have to send their kids to daycare, they're raised by a kafira, and then they might learn some kufr things, and then you have to live with that, okay? Whereas many couples have to make that decision very early on. And so, there are certain people that say that, no, we need two jobs in the house. People say that I need the husband to get the job and the wife to get the job. I said, okay, maybe there are certain people that actually have a need. Many of us, for a majority of us, it's not a need. It's just a want, okay? There's a certain lifestyle we want to have, a certain car we want to drive, a certain house we want to have, all these different things we want. And because of that, we need two jobs. Whereas if we lived a little lower, we can manage on one salary. I just mentioned that because why? Unfortunately, today, a lot of our kids, they are not raised in good environments, and they become kafira or kafir. And because why? Because the parents are not concerned with the children. Now, I asked the sister, consider this for yourself. What's more important? Is it my job, my CEO, my boss? Or is it the children that Allah gave me as amana? Okay? Consider it. And I get it. There's a sacrifice involved. Many of them, alhamdulillah, will be able to resolve it. Again, these are things that are so much there. Okay? MashaAllah. So, sisters, just keep in mind this, another advice. The Prophet ﷺ said this about the rights of the husband, right? And this is a hadith of Tirmidhi, the authentic hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, if I were to make anyone make sajda to another person, if I were to make someone make sajda to another person, I feel bad. Everyone, if they came in the beginning, they probably would have heard some nice things. Now they came out the end, they're hearing all the bitter stuff, right? What can you do? The Prophet ﷺ said that if I were to make one person make sajda to another person, I would make a wife make sajda to her husband out of ta'zim and respect for him. Obviously, the Prophet would never say that. It's haram, right? Shirk. But the Prophet said, if it were possible that someone were to, there's a level of respect that she needs to show her husband, okay? Keeping this in mind, a lot of us unfortunately grew up with this weird red pill mentality that the wife is supposed to be like this servant and slave. They're supposed to do everything for ourselves. Wallahi tallahi billahi al-azim, this has never existed in the Ummah, ever. Did you ever find a woman that's that observant of this, okay? Okay, I'm going to tell you what is the reality of the Ummah. This woman is going to complain at you, okay? She's going to yell at you. She's going to argue at you. You come into the house, you don't come into your house. Who do you come into? Her house. It belongs to her. You came into her domain. And now if you don't come, and if you didn't, like, for example, call the plumber on time or the electrician, right? Or like the bathroom was still clogged, or like, you forgot something on the shopping list, you're gonna hear such things you never heard your whole life. Subhanallah, as if you married a complete stranger. So you never did anything good for me. Right? And this is not my words, it's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words. The Prophet went to the woman, hadith of Bukhari. I mentioned this as advice, mentioning for both sides. The Prophet went to the woman's side and said, oh woman, fear Allah, because I see majority in the fire Jahannam. And they say, ya Rasulullah, why are we in the majority of the fire Jahannam? The Prophet said, Yakfun al-Ashir wa yaksun al-La'an. The Prophet said they are extremely ungrateful, right? They deny all the blessings of the husband, and they curse the most. And a woman came up to complain and said that this is completely infactual, whatever, not wrong, it's wrong, whatever. I said, what? I said, this hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I think he's seen Jahannam, right? Whatever. So she came and said that, said, women aren't like that. I said, okay, sister. Okay, just you don't be like that, okay? Inshallah, if you believe that women are like that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you do it. You become the good woman, okay? But for men, if a woman starts yelling at you, does that mean she's a bad person? The Prophet ﷺ said, a husband goes to sleep while his wife goes to sleep while angry at his wife, the angels spend the whole night cursing her. And I tell this to husbands. I'm not telling this to women. I said to husbands, do you want the angel to curse your wife? Forgive her. How are you going to do that? Astaghfirullah. Don't give her a hukum that she doesn't want. Don't give her a command she doesn't want. Don't force things on her. She's a human being. The Prophet said, "You be careful. Women are created from a crooked rib. If you try to start a strain, what's going to happen? You're going to break it, right? SubhanAllah. People are like, man, I'm not even going to think I'm going to love my wife the whole time. I'm going to have honeymoon phase the whole life, inshallah, the whole honeymoon. I said, okay, try your best to be on the moon as much as you can. Drink as much honey as you want, inshallah. Whatever. Try your best, SubhanAllah. People, they vary in their honeymoon stages. Some of them have like 1 month honeymoon. Some people have 3 months. Some people, mashallah, they can get to a year. Allahu Akbar. You make dua for me if you manage it, mashallah. Right? But people generally, SubhanAllah, you realize that I have a human being I have to live with. And now it's a little bit different. The experience is different. There is a different type of love that's being generated here. That's my advice again to everyone. Marriage is a lot bigger than you think. It's a lot bigger than you think. There's so many things to consider. When you put all these things together, then you remind yourself that I can learn to take care of someone else. I can learn to become patient. I can learn to forgive. I can learn to love. I can learn, alhamdulillah, to get some work, get a job. And most importantly, I can learn to love Allah Ta'ala. Because when you learn to love someone else in this world, Allah teaches you how to love Him. The same way you're willing to sacrifice everything for your wife and your kid. The same way a mother is willing to sacrifice everything for her children. The same way you learn what it means to really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when alhamdulillah, you have those beautiful moments in marriage. Wallahi, so many beautiful moments. You know, subhanAllah, like at the beginning of the nikah, I don't tell my wife this. Don't tell anybody, okay? No, you guys, okay? I still remember, subhanAllah, like I remember she used to use, you know, one of those Nokia phones? Like the thing that can break like a wall. Maybe throw it at it, right? I remember the brick, right? SubhanAllah. And like, I remember that. And I remember on the first time, subhanAllah, I saw it. I picked it up, I threw it somewhere, and I gave her the phone that I bought for her, right? Like, subhanAllah, like, you know, like, I remember those things. If I told her that, she'd probably like, oh, you love me so much, you know, subhanAllah. I'm telling you, it's a tasbih you could do. We don't do it enough. A simple tasbih as well. Like, one father gave advice to his son, beautiful advice. He said, look, women like to be told that they are loved. Women like to be told that they are loved. You can say, you can solve majority of marital problems, you just say, I love you, right? There was one time my wife was so exceptionally angry at me, unbelievably angry. So then what happened was, I said to her, and when she was so mad, I said, you look so beautiful today. You look so beautiful today. Well, these are my techniques. I'm sharing with you all. Okay? These are my techniques. I have a whole list of these things. You look so beautiful today. She couldn't help but smile. You know, I said, what's the point of fighting? I'm an adult. I didn't marry a child. Sometimes I tell her, I said, did I marry a child? I said, I married an adult. We have to operate like adults. We have no time for these small little fights. Alhamdulillah, we married an adult. That's the thing I'm trying to tell you. Be an adult. If you married a woman, you have to understand she's a different personality. And sometimes the personality will mesh really well. Sometimes it doesn't mesh really well. Sometimes it clicks really good. Sometimes it doesn't click. But that's what it is. It comes with difficulty. And embrace it and love it, inshallah ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, mashallah, those happy moments that come. And this is the thing. Today, the whole day, Sumaya was with me while I was preparing this bayan. And she just kept talking the whole time. She just kept talking, subhanAllah, because I bought her like a game or toy or something. And she's just so excited about it. She wants to talk about it. I'm just thinking, I'm like trying to write the bayan down, trying to put down my notes, right? And I think the whole time, alhamdulillah, ya Allah, it's because of my wife I was able to get this daughter. I could not even imagine life without her. Like, subhanAllah, you're going to have kids one day, subhanAllah. And this wife is the source of that. You can't be happy with that. You have to think about these things. This is why it's half of deen. When a person realizes how many qualities they get because of nikah, this is why it's half of deen. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, khayrukum khayrukum li ahli. The best to you, the ones who are best to their wives. Wa ana khayrukum li ahli. I'm the best to my wife. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Abbas used to tell the Sahaba, and he used to tell his companions. He said that he told Sa'id ibn Musayyib, are you married yet? He said, I'm not married. He said, get married. He said, because why? Because the best of us, the best of this ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the one who had the most wives, alayhi salatu wasalam. He is able to manage these things, inshallah. So you all manage these things. And so now you need to keep this in mind, inshallah. Keep all this stuff together. When you get married, when you think about it, make these intentions. Ya Allah, I want to be next to you in Jannatul Firdaus. This is where you need to be, inshallah. Make that intention and live like that, inshallah. You become like a guy like Salman al-Farisi. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said something so nice to him. He said that, may Allah be pleased with you, mashallah, you're such a wonderful slave, right? Such a wonderful slave. And then he said that, then get me married. And then Umar radiallahu anhu looked a little hesitant. He said, you said Allah is so pleased to that I'm such a good slave before Allah. You don't want me to be one of your family members? You know, so then Umar radiallahu anhu felt a little. So then he found a woman from Kinda. And now this is Salman. You have to understand Salman. Salman ibn al-Khayr. He's the son of Khayr. He's the son of Islam. Salman radiallahu anhu. So then they made sure they put the wife in such a beautiful house that they got for Salman radiallahu anhu. They adorned the whole house. The house had more parda, more hijab than even the woman inside. Okay? So many things. Salman radiallahu anhu looked at the house from outside. He walked away. They said, Salman, where are you going? He said, "Atahawalat al-Ka'ba fi ila kinda?" He said, "Did the Kaaba come to kinda?" Right? He's like, "What is all these shrouds and things like that?" He said, "Take all of them off. Oh, I'm not stepping foot in that house." Right? And they said, "Why not, Ya Salman?" He said, "Awsani khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Rasul, my friend sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me that that I'm supposed to live in this life like a traveler." So then he enters the house. And when he enters the house, he sees all this furniture. He said, "What is all this furniture?" And he said, "Amti'atun laka wa li zawjik. This is for you and for your wife." He said, "Take it all out." He said, "Why, O Salman?" "Awsani khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Rasulullah commanded me to live like a traveler in this world." Then he saw all these servants in the house. He said, "What is this? Take all of them out." And he said, "Yeah, why? They're for you." He said, "My Nabi alayhi sallam said not to have these things." And then finally, there were a lot of women with the girl because they're very happy. Salman radiallahu anhu, right? And then he said, "Can you please leave me with my wife now?" And they said, "Yes." They left him, right? And now listen to this. Look at this, mashallah. So then he goes to the wife. He says that, are you, alhamdulillah, in a position? Are you comfortable in obeying me and listening to me?" She said, "I'm sitting in the position of the one who will obey, of course." Right, subhanAllah. So then he goes and says, "Then what we should start out the nikah is with the obedience of Allah Ta'ala." She said, "I understand." So they stood up and prayed Salatul Tahajjud together. Allahu Akbar. So obviously, mashallah, the night goes. Next morning comes. Now this is when, mashallah, people, right? "Bro, how'd it go? How was it? Ay, ajeeb, ajeeb. What's wrong with us? SubhanAllah. Certain questions should be, you know?" So Salman radiallahu anhu, they said, "Kayfa wajadta ahlak? How did you find your family?" Fa'arada anhum. He turned away from them. Then they came back to him and said, "Kayfa wajadta ahlak? How did you find your family?" Fa'arada anhum. He turned away from them. "Kayfa wajadta?" They kept asking. And then he said that, subhanAllah, I wish I had the kitab with me. I left in the car because of the rain. But he said very beautifully, more long story short, he said, "The reason why Allah Ta'ala created curtains and partitions and doors is that to lutuwariya ma fiha, to conceal what is inside. Is it not appropriate for people to talk about these questions? You should not be asking. Only ask about what is apparent, subhanAllah." Right? This is unfortunately the case with us. We are so nosy. Allah forgive, man, subhanAllah. Okay, we're so nosy. Allah forgive. Salman radiallahu anhu, he said that, look, when a person exposes this matter, it's like the two shaitans or two himar that they have relations in the street. Allah forgive, inshallah. But this is the thing, inshallah, manage yourself like this. And keep in mind, inshallah, that look, this life is temporary. And you have, alhamdulillah, a wife that is suitable and compatible to you here. But when you get to Jannah, that's when you find, alhamdulillah, your wife in the most perfect and most beautiful form. And the husband will be in the best forms. That's why you'll find throughout the Quran, right? Udukhulul jannat antum azwajukum tuhbarun. Yutafu alayha bi sahafin min zahab akwab. Wa fiha ma tashtahil anfus wa taladul ayun. Wa antum fiha qalidun. The Quran says, enter Jannah, you and your wives together. And you all be tuhbarun. The word hibar means to enjoy. It means that, as you know, hibr in Arabic is for ink. It's because why? Because you'll find that in Jannah, as if you are immersed in the happiness and joy, as if you're drowned in ink, subhanAllah. Another reason why the ulama say is because while you are in Jannah, there'll be people coming in and out all the time, like the way ink goes into the pot, the same way people will be coming. What are they coming with? The servants are coming with pots and pans of gold and silver, plates of gold and silver, coming to serve you. Whatever you want, you get. Whatever you ask, you get. Whatever you desire, you get. That's where it is. What surah do we recite every day? We're supposed to recite Surah Yasin. Inna ashabal jannati al-yawma fi shughlin fakihun hum azwajun fi dhilalin 'ala al-araikim muttakin. You read this in Surah Yasin, remind yourself every morning. The people of Jannah will be on that day extremely happy. Them and their wives sitting in shade, enjoying and reclining. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. This is one of the things about Jannah. Everyone has a husband or wife in Jannah. Okay? This is why many people, they said that after their marriage, they don't want to get married to someone else. Because Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, for example, that the last person that you marry, he told his wife, he said, don't marry anyone after me. It's because the last person that you marry will be the one that you be with in Jannah. Right? Allah knows, right? You know, subhanAllah, that's why Ummu Darda radiallahu anhu, after her husband passed away, Abu Darda, she said that, "I don't want to marry anyone else. I love Abu Darda too much." And so they mentioned in one narration, they said that wife will be able to choose between her husbands, right? Whatever one she wants best. So you better be the best guy, you know? You never know, man. You never know, right? So but in any case, he didn't want to marry anyone else because he said, "I don't want to choose between anyone else," right? Well, Yusuf Kanlawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, amazing da'i ilallah, great in the jama'at effort, mashallah. One person was giving bayan. One time he was covered in bandages and had surgery. And even in that state, he gave bayan too. He started to bleed on stage, but he wanted to give da'wah ilallah. Such an amazing da'i he was. He couldn't spend a lot of time with his wife. So at the time when Mala Yusuf Saab was passing away, and when he passed away, the wives came to his wife. Everyone, the woman came to his wife and said that, "Please forgive him. because he didn't spend a lot of time with you. Please forgive him. He didn't give you a lot of time in this world. Please forgive him. You know, let everything go. And she said, what do I need to forgive? I was just waiting for my day that I can spend Jannah with him. This is what it means when you love someone. Because you want to spend forever with them in Jannah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that. I'm done, inshallah. Keep that in mind, inshallah ta'ala. Don't shoot for temporary. Everyone in this life is looking for to do as much haram so we can get temporary life happiness here. I'm saying, inshallah, remember in Jannah, there's a market in Jannah. Could you imagine that you go every Friday, you go there and you come back. And then when you come back in Jannah, the wife looks at you and says, wow, your face looks so much more handsome. I tell you, wives, if you ever want to make your husband happy, just when he comes home, say, you look so handsome today. We never get compliments. Never. SubhanAllah. And then the husband says in Jannah, he says when he looks at his wife, he says, and similarly, you've become more beautiful too. That's where it's at, inshallah. Don't jeopardize everything until you get to the hereafter, inshallah. It's not about make, you know, people are waiting to make it, you know, they're like, it'll work out. People say, it'll work out. I said, no, you have to make it work. Marriages, you have to make it work. So may Allah grant us all tawfiq, inshallah. Allow us to have, alhamdulillah, the best, inshallah, in this life and thereafter. Ya Rabbul Alameen, for those who are not married, Ya Allah, make it easy for them to get the nikah, Ya Rahman Rahmeen. Ya Allah, who can never have children, Ya Allah, make it easy for them to have children, Ya Allah. Rabbul Alameen, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, through our nikahs, grant us jannah fi dhu al-za'ala wa habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah.